الحمد لله وكفى، والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. It is an incredible favor and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted each one of us this month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enabled us to reach this month of Ramadan, that month about which the Prophet used to make dua 2 months in advance, that month about which the Akabri and Salaf Salihin used to make dua for 6 months in advance. This month is an incredible month of mercy, and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so immense that anything and everything can be attained in deen in this month of Ramadan. This is the reason why our ulama and mashayikh, they mentioned this is a month which is the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a person can truly discover Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month of Ramadan. They can know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They can fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they can increase in their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and loving all those things which are loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the goal of this month of Ramadan. Person loves the Kalam, the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has many requirements. It's a mehnat, it's an effort, and this effort can be done in multiple diverse ways. Loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means that a person loves the Kalam of Allah ta'ala, the Quran of Allah ta'ala. They can just open the Mus'haf of Quran and start reciting Quran day in and day out. That's manifesting their love for Allah Ta'ala. It can also mean that a person prays nawafil before Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, because Salah is a way that a person communicates. It's a communication with Allah Ta'ala, mulaqat with Allah Ta'ala, meeting with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Similarly, a person might want to be in the company of Allah Ta'ala. They love to be in the company of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And for that, they do remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, they sit in zikr of Allah. And while they're sitting and remembering Allah Ta'ala, they're in the company of Allah, and they love that company. So they give preference to the Kalam of Allah Ta'ala over all other Kalam. They give preference to their meeting with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala over all other meetings. They give preference to the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over all other companies. Then they want to do those things which are liked by Allah ta'ala, and they want to stay away from those things which are disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So doing those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes and staying away from those things which Allah ta'ala dislikes, that's following the Quran, Sunnah and Sharia. they follow such a lifestyle not because they're commanded to do, but because they have love for Allah Ta'ala in their hearts. And they want to genuinely do those things which are loved by Allah Ta'ala. And they want to stay away from those things which are disliked by Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. At the root of the relationship is muhabbah. It's a relationship of love between lover and beloved. What motivates them, what inspires them, is their muhabbah for Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And this is the reason why Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala sends us this month of Ramadan, so that we are able to connect back to Him with this feeling of muhabbah for Him. Today we want to speak about one particular hadith about Ramadan. Inshallah, next time we'll speak about the topic on akhlaq. There's a hadith, very famous hadith, which mentions that when this gift of Ramadan used to come, the Prophet ﷺ used to value this gift of Ramadan. And that hadith teaches us the prophetic way, the sunnah way, in which, through which a person can value this gift of Ramadan. And truly we have to learn to value this gift. We have to learn to value this opportunity, this ni'mah, this blessing of Allah Ta'ala. Because once and only once we value this blessing, then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will enable us to benefit from this blessing. And in fact, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala might increase this blessing upon us. So the rule that Allah Ta'ala lays down in Quran is that whoever is grateful to Allah Ta'ala's blessing, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is going to increase that blessing on that person. So Ramadan is not just one other holy month, where it's not simply a month that a person keeps fast. It's a month where a person has been blessed with this incredible gift, where everything and anything is available for a person. They can draw close to Allah, they can attain the ma'iyyat of Allah, they can fill their hearts with this muhabbah for Allah, they can reignite that flame of love for Allah in their hearts. And truly we have to value this opportunity, do qadr of this opportunity, of this gift. And the best way, the best example that we have of valuing this gift is to learn from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is why this hadith mubarakah is very important, because in this hadith mubarakah the Prophet ﷺ mentions three things. The Sahaba ikram then narrate that when the month of Ramadan used to start, we used to notice three things in the life of Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ used to increase in three things in the month of Ramadan. The first of these things is that the Prophet ﷺ used to increase in his sadaqah, that he used to spend more in voluntary charity in this month than he ever spent otherwise. Now one could imagine that, and we should always remember that the Prophet ﷺ would spend so much throughout the year that never did he have any wealth with him, so much wealth with him in his house, except that he would use to spend that money, spend that wealth among the fuqara, among the masakin of Madinah Munawwara. The Prophet ﷺ used to eat very frugally. He was someone who didn't have some surplus wealth, that he would be giving abundance and charity. So even if there is a person who feels that I have only limited money, limited wealth, but still the fact that we have some extra, we should also try to spend that extra that we have on the path of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. It's a very good thing, it's a very good habit to get into in this month of Ramadan, that a person should regularly spend, sometimes openly, sometimes secretly, give sadaqah. The normal preferred way is to give secretly, such that Allah Ta'ala mentions that the right hand gives and the left hand does not even know. That's how secretly they used to give. That means that they don't even notice it themselves. so that one doesn't feel takabbur or arrogance or kibr. A person doesn't feel like I'm a philanthropist, I should have my name on some building. No, no, not like that. But you should give in such a way that nobody knows. However, there's one case in which it's actually better to give openly, and that is that if you feel that by giving openly, somebody might benefit from that. Somebody else might see and they might be encouraged to donate. So the notion of giving sadaqah either secretly or openly, then openly is for dawah, inviting other also to do this amal of sadaqah. But either way, we should increase in our spending. Why? Because this is the first thing that we see in the sunnah example, that the Prophet ﷺ used to increase in his spending in this month. There is a nisbat, there is a relationship between spending and fasting. Because when we are eating less in the month of Ramadan, we are supposed to feel more compassion for other people around us. And we're not just going to feel that compassion for the sake of compassion, but we are told by the Sharia to do something about that compassion. And that then manifests itself practically in the form of giving sadaqah. So we should give, and we should give with the niyat of sunnah. Sometimes, you know, we make different niyat, but the best niyat that you should have is that I'm reviving a sunnah in my life. Because if you revive one sunnah, then the reward for that sunnah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the reward of 100 martyrs. So one can make many other niyat, but this should also be the niyat, that I'm reviving this sunnah in my life, giving sadaqah in the month of Ramadan. And ya Allah, through the nisbat and the barakat of Ramadan and the barakah of this sunnah, which is giving sadaqah, that Allah enable me to revive all of the sunnahs in my life. You know, this is a relatively easy sunnah for me to do, for me to act upon in this month. But Allah, I ask you that you grant me tawfiq to be able to revive all the beloved sunnahs, so that by doing amal on those sunnahs, I can become beloved to you. The second thing that the Prophet ﷺ used to do abundantly in this month was that he used to make du'as, and he used to make du'a with a lot of tears, with a lot of humility. He used to be beseeching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, crying, weeping. And again, the Prophet ﷺ used to be making du'as throughout the year. But the difference was that in the month of Ramadan, the du'as used to be made with even more lajajat, with even more humbleness. And the Prophet ﷺ used to make du'a specifically for two things. One was Jannah, and number two was used to seek refuge from the hellfire. So these are Arabic du'as one should also make in this month. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannata, that O Allah, I ask you paradise. I ask paradise from you. Wa'udhu bika min an-nar, and I seek refuge with you from the fire of Jahannam. Or there is another simple dua, Allahumma ajirni minan nar, that Allah save me from the fire of Jahannam. There are many, many duas that are mentioned in the hadith texts. And this is again something that we should be making a dua year round. But another thing is that in addition to what we have mentioned in this month of Ramadan, there are some things, some changes that are made in the universe, some special features of Ramadan, which actually are part of the increased mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in one hadith it comes that the three big changes that occur in this month, in the first night of this month of Ramadan. First is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam to chain down all the different shayateen. All the stray shayateen are chained down. Why? Because these shayateen used to spoil our ibadah. For the past 11 months, they used to spoil our ibadah. They used to make us lazy. They used to make us absent-minded. They used to make us lazy about our salah. But now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala imprisons all these stray shayateen so that a person is not distracted, and so that a person with focus and concentration, they can turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month. Another thing, another special thing that happens on the first night of Ramadan is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announces, Allah ta'ala commands one particular angel called Rizwan, who is an angel of Jannah, and commands him to open all the gateways to Jannah. All the doors, all the windows of Jannah are opened in this month of Ramadan. In any case, it's mentioned in the hadith that throughout the year Jannah is being prepared for the month of Ramadan. And finally, when the first night of Ramadan starts, the announcement is made where all the doors are thrown wide open. And this could mean both literally or metaphorically that the doors are actually opened, and then also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's intention is that Allah wants to populate Jannah with more and more people in this month. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes for more people to get into Jannah. Allah has made entry into Jannah easy in this month of Ramadan. Allah ta'ala has made price very low, very cheap entry into Jannah. And that's one of the reasons why that when a person makes dua for Jannah in this month, the gates of Jannah are thrown open and the gates of Jahannam are closed in this month of Ramadan. So because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already done that, and then the Prophet ﷺ has increased his du'as, why? Because there's a greater chance that a dua for entry into Jannah will be accepted in this month of Ramadan. And our dua for salvation from Jahannam will be accepted in this month. Because this is a month of extreme mercy. It's a month when Allah Ta'ala has closed the gates of Jahannam and opened the gates of Jannah. So we're supposed to make dua in such a way. We're supposed to think about this change that has happened in the universe. And we are supposed to use that as part of making dua to Allah. That, O Allah, just as you have closed the gates of Jahannam in this month of Ramadan, Ya Allah, I ask you to close the gates of Jahannam for me in my life, and close all the pathways that lead to those gates for me in my life. And just like, Ya Allah, you have opened up the doors of the gates of Jannat in this month of Ramadan, Allah, I ask you to keep them open for me, and to make them open for me, and to guide me, and to guide me to those pathways that will lead me to enter into Jannah, that will enable me to enter into Jannah. So those things are already there, but we have to make dua to Allah Ta'ala that they become applicable in our case. The barakat of the month of Ramadan are there, but we want to be able to partake from those barakah. That mercy of this month is there, it's an established fact, but we want to be able to partake from the mercies and rahmate of this month of Ramadan. And for that we have to make dua to Allah Ta'ala. And that's why this is the second thing that the Prophet ﷺ used to do, was to increase in his du'as. Increase in his du'as for Jannah, increase in his du'as for salvation from Jahannam. And the third thing that's mentioned in that hadith is that the Prophet ﷺ used to increase in his ibadat in this month of Ramadan. He used to strive more in ibadah. And again, the Prophet ﷺ used to strive an incredible amount in his ibadah throughout the year. So much so that the Prophet ﷺ would spend the entire night in ibadah, in making dua, saying Ummati, Ummati, thinking about his Ummah, having worry and concern for his Ummah. So much so that in normal days, the Mubarak feet of the Prophet ﷺ would become swollen. So a lot of effort, even in the normal days. And then one can imagine that when the Sahaba said that in the month of Ramadan, that the Prophet ﷺ used to increase his Mujahidah, He used to increase his worship. He used to increase his striving in his ibadah in the month of Ramadan. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Why would this happen? And the reason for this is that there's a third thing that happens on the first night of Ramadan. Third special feature of this month of Ramadan, which happens on day one, on night one of Ramadan. Another change that happens in the universe, which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases the reward for every single act of worship that a person does in the month of Ramadan. So in Allah ta'ala gives the reward for one fard, makes that one fard into 70 fard. Allah ta'ala gives the reward of 70 farais. And for every one nafil that is performed in Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases the reward to one fard. So one fard becomes 70 fard in Ramadan, and one nafil becomes one fard. So actually, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing what He's doing, He's not just giving us that ajr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is helping us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, it's an opportunity, it's a moment, it's a window for us, for all of us to connect back to Allah ta'ala. It's an opportunity for us where Allah ta'ala is helping us train ourselves. That maybe for 11 months of the year you were lazy, for 11 months of the year you were disconnected, for 11 months of the year you were absent-minded, but you have this one month where you can train yourself again to connect back to Allah, to reignite the love for Allah in your hearts. Do ibadah lovingly and with that feeling of love for Allah, as opposed to doing that ibadah out of a sense of compulsion or duty or obligation. You rekindle those emotions of love for Allah and intimacy with Allah in your heart. It's like you go on a 1 month intensive workshop. In the dunya, people do that all the time. They go 1 month intensive training, and sometimes the organizers, they facilitate your success, and they give you that environment where you're going to be successful in that workshop. They give you the perfect environment. They try to give you the perfect food. They try to give you good housing, good instruction, good seminars, good reading material. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing all of that for us in this month of Ramadan. And Allah ta'ala is multiplying the reward. And not just multiplying the ajr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also multiplying the asr. Asr means the effect that that amal has upon you. So for example, salah. When Quran says that inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar, that salah prohibits a person from committing any act of immorality or some wrongdoing. So fard in Ramadan, when you pray one fard salah, it's as if you've prayed 70 fard salah. So the ability also of that one fard salah is 70 times more powerful in keeping you away from the fahsha and keeping you away from the munkar than when you pray that one fard outside of Ramadan. That also had a certain ability to keep us away from evil, but that ability, that power is multiplied 70 times in the month of Ramadan. And similarly, you can imagine nafl. When it's increased to the magnitude of a fard, that means that, let's say, these 20 taravi rakah that one prays, although the shari status is that there are sunnat in muqidah, the sawab and the asr, the effect that that salah will have on your heart, is as if we prayed 20 fara'id, 20 rakah of fard outside the month of Ramadan. So Allah Ta'ala is boosting the effect of ibadah. And again, all of this is being done, everything in Ramadan is being done to give us this environment where we can suppress our nafs and we can work on our ruh. We can work on our heart. We can work on reigniting that feeling of love for Allah in our hearts. of connecting back to Allah Ta'ala, of loving Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, falling in love with Allah Ta'ala, and increasing that shiddat in our muhabbat for Allah Ta'ala. Whether it's chaining the shayateen, whether it's putting us through hunger, this act of ibadah called fasting that enables us to subdue our nafs, and then all the good deeds that Allah Ta'ala wants us to do in the month of Ramadan that also counters our nafs. So multiplying, many times when we fall and we lapse into sin, is because we don't have good deeds to prevent us from lapsing into those bad deeds. So Allah Ta'ala restrains our nafs. He gives us that ability to restrain our nafs. So that is why then, practically speaking, in this month of Ramadan, a person should try to do as much ibadah as possible. And the way to do the easiest way to do this is to first try to free oneself from every other consideration in this month. You won't be able to do ibadah if you already have too much on your plate. You have to free yourself from every other consideration in this month as much as possible. Now, obviously, some of you are students, so you have to study. But then that means that other than your study or your exams, there should be nothing else that you do. A person, you should just take off from all other activities, social activities, social relations, sports. I am a seeker for Allah Ta'ala. For 11 months I did my own life. 1 month I want to lead a life according to Allah. I want to be able to connect to Allah. I want to love Allah. I want to love everything that Allah loves. I want to love everything which will make me love Allah. I'm a seeker of Allah Ta'ala. I have an irada for Allah, desire for Allah. That person is a seeker of Allah, then there is no time for sports in Ramadan. This is the month for me. I'm getting such an incredible rate from Allah Ta'ala. It's such an incredible opportunity. If we just process this in our dunyavi terms, if I say that I'll give you 70 times your daily wages, 70 times your monthly salary, this month if you work overtime, are we going to go out play cricket in the field? Or are we going to play some other sport? Or spend that activity in some social activity or social relations? No way. So if that's how we think about the dunya, Allah Ta'ala is saying that I will give you 70 times for every fard. I will convert your nawafil into faraid. This is the month of doing ibadah. It's a month that we should tire our bodies for ibadah. Because the reality is that we tire our bodies for dunya every single day. So there should be some time in the year that we spend and dedicate that time for Allah Ta'ala alone. That maybe our eyes, they wish to sleep, but we feel that if we can stay awake for some time for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, then that mujahidah that we make might become beloved, might be a source of getting this love for Allah Ta'ala in our hearts. Maybe a person might not be able to reach the manzil, the destination, on their own. But the very fact that if you can make that mujahidah to that destination, then Allah Ta'ala can just accept that mujahidah and give you the destination. This is Allah Ta'ala's way. The success does not lie in you yourself making that effort to reach and to physically be at the destination and the manzil. The real name of the game on this journey is the mujahidah that you make towards the destination. Whether or not you actively reach the destination, that's secondary. As long as you're able to make that mujahidah for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala can accept that mujahidah, and Allah Ta'ala can bless you with that destination. And we should make this mujahidah and be grateful to Allah Ta'ala. Not doing an ihsan upon some other person or upon our own self or upon Allah Ta'ala. We are doing ihsan. We should be grateful to Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala has done ihsan upon us. That He has given us this opportunity. He has given us this perfect opportunity, this perfect environment. We should be grateful to Allah Ta'ala from the bottom of our heart that Allah has blessed us with this month of Ramadan. Allahu Akbar Kabira. There are so many people who were alive last Ramadan, but today they're not present. They weren't able to get this Ramadan this year. The fact that Allah has enabled me and you to reach this month of Ramadan, this is an incredible blessing of Allah Ta'ala. And we should be thankful and grateful to Allah Ta'ala that bila istihqaq, that we were completely undeserving, absolutely undeserving. We had no qabiliyah, no ahliyah for this month. We were completely no qualification, not qualified for this month of Ramadan. But Allah Ta'ala did not look at our qabiliyah. Allah Ta'ala did not look at our ahliyat, or Allah Ta'ala did not look at how undeserving we were of this month. Bila istihqaq, Allah Ta'ala gave us qubuliyah. Without anything, any of our doing, Allah Ta'ala accepted and Allah Ta'ala chose us. Allah Ta'ala selected us and gifted us this beautiful gift of the month of Ramadan. So we should be very grateful to Allah Ta'ala. Extremely grateful to Allah Ta'ala. And do ibadah with this attitude that, Ya Allah, we're grateful to you that you have blessed us with this opportunity. That maybe I spent 11 months in ghafla. This 1 month now, Ya Allah, have this opportunity that I will make mujahida in order to get to you, in order to discover you, in order to fall in love with you, in order to increase my love for you. This is going to be my mujahida. And I'm thankful to you for this opportunity. And maybe if a person presents this mujahida to Allah, because the truth is that a person cannot get anything in Ardeen based on their own efforts. They will get everything because of the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. Even Jannat, a person will get because of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. What haysiyat does our acts of ibadah have in the court of Allah Ta'ala? We are so deficient. Our ibadah is so deficient. In fact, if you look at your whole life, then everything that we have done is wrong. There's nothing that we can present to Allah Ta'ala and say that, Ya Allah, this is that one amal that I've done in a proper way, in a way that is right, in a way that is correct, in a way that might be pleasing to you. We don't have even one amal that we can present to Allah Ta'ala. Everything that we have done in our whole life is just wrong. It's all wrong. It's all improper. It lacked adab, lacked ikhlas, lacked sincerity, lacked proper ilm. Done in lazily, done in a state of ghafla. We have nothing. Kuch bhi to nahi hai. We have nothing to show to Allah Ta'ala. And maybe if only we come to Allah Ta'ala with that remorse and with that nadamat and with that regret in our hearts that, Ya Allah, we have nothing to offer to you. And what we're just trying to do is just some small baby steps. This mujahida, that Allah, we want to love you, we want to increase our love for you. And for that, we're just showing our talab to Allah, our longing to Allah, our yearning to Allah, our craze for Allah, our feelings for Allah. And we're just manifesting that through some acts of worship, through some efforts that we're making, through some sacrifices that we're making. And maybe that's the sacrifice for some of us. We're sacrificing our sleep. Our eyes are thirsty. They want to go to sleep. But for those few moments, we just sacrifice our sleep for the sake of Allah. We present those thirsty eyes. We present those sleepy eyes to Allah Ta'ala. We present that, Ya Allah, that we are staying awake for your sake in this month. That, Ya Allah, we are fasting. We're feeling that thirst and hunger for your sake in this month. That, Ya Allah, I'm curbing, I'm subduing the desires of my nafs for your sake in this month. I'm increasing my tilawat al-Quran even though I'm tired, but I'm pushing myself to recite more, making that extra mujahida, Allah, for your sake in this month. We're doing some sacrifices, small sacrifices in this month, and maybe with this hope that Allah, when He looks at these sacrifices, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can grant us His rahmah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can enable us to reach the destination. So the barakah of our mujahida is that it attracts the attention, the loving attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And maybe if nothing else, Even if a person is not able to reach the destination, at least we will be able to say on Yawm al-Qiyamah that, Ya Allah, I wasn't able to reach the destination in this world, but I always used to make dua for the destination. Allah, I used to make mujahida for that destination. Allah, I did. I spent this 1 month making some small sacrifices in order to reach my destination, which was you. Allah, I have nothing else in my life to present to you. For Allah, this month of mujahida, these sacrifices that I made, this thirst, this sleepiness, this staying awake for your sake, Allah, I have this that I can present to you. And if you present that to Allah Ta'ala, Allah is Ar-Rahman, Allah Ta'ala Ar-Rahim. Allah Ta'ala just needs an excuse to forgive us on that day. So this is our season. We have to view this like our season. And we have to work for this like our season. It's a season to make mujahida. It's a month that you stay awake. You lessen your rest. We bear difficulties for the sake of Allah. We make that effort. Just like other people, they do it for other motives and objectives in their lives. And you go to a farmer and you go to them in March. That's their season. They're working day in and day night. And they say this is our season. You go to a shop owner, Ramadan is their season in a different way. Especially the few nights before Eid. Allahu Akbar. They're up all night. All shops open 24 hours. Why? It's their season. It's their season when they are willing to lessen their rest. They're willing to cut down on their other business and their masrufiyat. They're willing to stay awake. They're not concerned about their food and drink. They're not concerned about other activities in their life. They're not concerned about their relatives, about meeting other people, greeting other people. They're not concerned about, they're just focused on their mission, which is their shop, which is their farm, which is their, for politicians, it's their elections. So our deen doesn't say that you should not just cut down on your own self and not think about other people. You should think about other people, but you should think about other people as a way to come close to Allah Ta'ala. So you are compassionate towards other people, you do iftar and make intizam for iftari, host other people so that they can break fast with you. All those acts of ibadah, even when you're doing them collectively and socially, they're done with the niyat of drawing close to Allah Ta'ala. So everything is geared in that direction, whether it's your individual ibadah or your collective activity. You're thinking about Allah Ta'ala. And you're thinking that this is my season, that this is ibadatka season, a season of ibadah. It's a season of piety, it's a season of amal, of goodness. And I have to do maximum amount of this ibadah in this month of Ramadan. I have to boost myself. You know, your students, they know this example very well, that the way you guys study in the finals week, and the finals week, and if you're really lazy, then think of the way a person might study the night before the final exam. Or maybe the morning of the final exam. This is your season. This is the way you should treat Ramadan. And you see the kids in the final week, they're in their zone. They don't even come out of their zone. They don't even go to each other. They don't even go to the professor. They're just so busy studying for the final exams. That's how we should treat Ramadan. And again, it's incredible because Alhamdulillah, the barakah is so incredible. We just completed our first Taraweeh, and I always love to remind ourselves and all of our listeners that the first night of Taraweeh is so incredible because you enter into Ramadan after Maghrib Salah. And then within 1.5 hour, when Isha Salah starts, that individual who wasn't able to pray 2 nafil throughout the year, or 4 nafil throughout the year, suddenly some power happens, some power is generated inside that individual, and that same person is now able to to stand in 20 rakat taraweeh, 20 rakat naf, 20 rakat sunnah, 20 rakat salah for the sake of it. It's not even 2 rakat, not even 4, not even 10, it's 20 rakat standing before Allah Ta'ala. And just not, he hasn't fasted yet. He hasn't recited, no, between Maghrib and Isha, what has he done? Perhaps nothing significant. He hasn't done any significant ibadah. He hasn't maybe done Quran, tilawat Quran. He hasn't done any kind of zikr. He hasn't kept a roza or a fast yet. He hasn't even prayed taraweeh yet. He hasn't done itikaf. There's nothing. There's only one thing that he spent that 1.5 hour in the month of Ramadan. Those 1.5 hours of the month of Ramadan had such an incredible power that that person now is willing to stand up before Allah Ta'ala and pray 20 rakah. Now imagine that how much power this whole month of Ramadan will have. If that's the power of 1.5 hours, then what will be the power of 30 days and 30 nights of Ramadan? And then what will be the power of the fasting that a person does in Ramadan? Then the barakah of taraweeh in the month of Ramadan. Then the barakah of extra ibadah that a person does. Then the barakah of du'as that a person makes. The barakah of Laylatul Qadr. The barakah of masjid. The barakah of itikaf. It's barakat upon barakat. Nurun ala nur. Allahu Akbar Kabira. That's why this is a month. Every single moment of this month is incredible. That if a person is able to tap into the power of each and every moment, that's it's sufficient to change an individual's life. It's sufficient to make that person connect to Allah Ta'ala. That's how powerful each and every moment is in this month of Ramadan. So we should be very busy trying to capitalize even these moments, not let them waste away. Time is a precious commodity. Time is not simply money. Time is life. It's the capital. It's just slipping by. And this is extremely precious time that we have. This 1 month. Allah Ta'ala also says in Quran, Ayyamun ma'dudat, these are very limited days. You're just beginning Ramadan today, and before you know it, you will be reaching the end of Ramadan. It will just pass by. So we have to be very vigilant about the way we spend every moment of Ramadan. And we should try to spend every moment in some kind of ibadah, in something that we are thinking about Allah Ta'ala, if nothing else. If not doing something, but at least thinking, making remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, doing dhikr of Allah Ta'ala in our hearts. At the background level, if nothing else. And then freeing ourselves from worldly activities as much as possible to go deeper into ibadah, whether it's Quran, whether it's dua, whether it's zikr, whether it's nawafil. Maybe those of some people who are working, they might have the weekends that are totally free. So they can use that time, the weekends, and they should use that time maximally, maximal amount of ibadah. So that, you know, just everyone around you should know that, you know, Ramadan is here. They should not talk to you. They should know that one thing about you. They should not come near you in Ramadan. This guy has some craze that's come over him in Ramadan. You will either find him in the masjid, or you will find him reading the Quran, or praying salah, or making zikr, or making istighfar, or making dua, or sitting in a gathering of nasiha, or studying ilm. He's gone this month. That's how we should behave in this month. Because that's what the sada is in this month. It's befitting. That should be our reply in this month. That, Ya Allah, if you have put so much barakah in this month, so much rahmah in this month, so much ajr in this month, so much asarat and effect in this month, then Allah, I want to reply. I want to reciprocate. And that's really the core, the foundation of this Abd-Rab relationship. That Allah Ta'ala is sending so much, His love, manifesting itself in so many different ways. And then a person responding to Allah Ta'ala's message and saying that, Ya Allah, I also want to love you back. And I also want to love you back in so many different ways. I'm loving you back by loving your Quran. I'm loving you back by silently making du'as to you. I'm loving you back by just thinking about you in my heart and being in your company. I'm loving you by being in communication with you, by standing before you in salah. I'm loving you in all these different manat, in all these different ways. We don't have to initiate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is initiating everything in this month. His rahmat is coming upon us. His karam, Allah ta'ala's karam is coming upon us. Allah ta'ala's fazl is coming upon us. Allah ta'ala's barakat is coming upon us. Allah ta'ala's rizq is coming in upon us. Allah ta'ala's, the process has been initiated. All these things Allah ta'ala is initiating for us in Ramadan. All what we have to do is simply accept, kubul, absorb. We just have to go along with the game plan of Allah ta'ala. And if we reject this, and if we spurn this after all these different things, then that's why Allah ta'ala is left and forced to say in Quran that, Ya ayyuhal insan, ma gharraka bi rabbikal kareem. That, O mankind, O insan, what has deceived you concerning your loving Allah ta'ala? What more can Allah ta'ala have done to you to entice you? Why is it that you have yet to fall in love with Allah ta'ala? That you have yet to love worshipping Allah ta'ala? Allah ta'ala, there is nothing more. Allah ta'ala has gone to an extreme level in his sifat, in the way he's treating us in this month of Ramadan. Maximum fazl, maximum barakah, maximum mercy. So we have to become intent. We have to turn back to Allah. If we become even one person as intent on Allah ta'ala, as Allah ta'ala is intent on us, we would become a wali overnight. We just have to bring that sincerity back in our relationship with Allah ta'ala. That seriousness back in our relationship with Allah. So this sincerity and seriousness, that can be built in this month of Ramadan. So the third thing the Prophet ﷺ would increase in his ibadah, would be that he would increase in his ibadah. And anything, everything and anything. Anything, you know, everything should be done more in this month of Ramadan. You should be more regular in Jama'ah, pray more Sunnah, pray more Nawafil, read more Quran, make more Istighfar, make more Durood, make more Khidmat of Deen, study more Ilm, make more Zikr, make more Dua. Anything and everything you can think of, you should do it. And if maybe some of us are beginners, then at least try to do it. Maybe we have never done some of these things before. Maybe you have heard some things like Tahajjud or Salat Tasbih, various things. Maybe I've heard that the Prophet ﷺ used to recite Surah Kahf on Friday, and I've heard that you should recite Surah Yasin after Fajr. So, inshallah, anything and everything that you ever heard in your life, this is the month to do it. This is the month to be active, to be a person of amal, a person of action. And inshallah, if we act, we will see the effect of that amal. That's guaranteed. That's guaranteed going to happen. You will find that effect, and the greatest effect will be that you will find that your heart is going to increase in the love for Allah ta'ala. Your heart will be more attached towards Allah ta'ala. Your heart will be more thinking of Allah ta'ala. Your heart will be longing Allah ta'ala, will be desiring Allah ta'ala. Our basic problem is that we are disconnected from Allah. We are distant from Allah. We don't have that fire in our hearts. We don't have that emotion of love in our heart. And that's why we don't desire. Now, if you don't have love for Allah ta'ala, what in the world is going to prompt us to, or make us come to the masjid more, want to make dua more, or make ibadah more? But what happens in Ramadan is that this incredible ibadah of fasting, Fasting will automatically connect you to Allah. And then you will feel this, and everyone will feel this, inshallah. That within one day of fasting, you will feel closer to Allah Ta'ala. You will feel so much closer to Allah Ta'ala than you did in the whole month of Shaban or anything before that month. Because you're engaged in fasting, and fasting is perpetual ibadah. It's 14, people say that I have to fast 16 hours or 15 hours. Well, one way of thinking is that you are in a perpetual state of ibadah for those 15 and 16 hours. You're doing it for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, right? Your niyat is completely sincere, and you're serious about your niyat. And that's the reason why you will feel closer and closer to Allah Ta'ala. It's automatic. It's built-in system. But again, what we have to remember is, always remember, that the fast is not an end. It's a means. The fast is not the goal. It's a sabab. The purpose of feeling closer to Allah Ta'ala during your fast is that you do something about that feeling. You will feel close to Allah Ta'ala while you're fasting. But we are supposed to act upon that feeling. You act like you're closer to Allah Ta'ala by worshipping Allah Ta'ala more. And even the Prophet ﷺ in this month, although he had an incredible responsibility of dawah upon him, doesn't say anywhere in hadith that the Prophet ﷺ increased his efforts on the kuffar. But it mentions that the Prophet ﷺ increased his ibadah in this month. It doesn't mean that he took it out from his free time. The Prophet ﷺ, he must have taken it out from his work of Nabuwa. Because the Prophet ﷺ was not an individual who would slack. The Prophet ﷺ would not waste time. So when the Prophet ﷺ is increasing his ibadah, it means that there is something very special about this month. Everything has its place. Everything has its time. This is the month to increase in ibadah. To become a person of worship. A person of ibadah, that is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And there is no superior way of understanding the deen. No superior way of establishing the deen. No superior way of doing amal on the deen except the sunnah. Except the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So spend more time in ibadah, which means spend more time on the musalla. Because that's your ibadah, that's your place for ibadah. Have a taluk with the musalla. Don't be a stranger to your janamas. This is also a sunnah of the sahaba, that they used to spend a lot of time on the musalla. They were people of the musalla. Their asal was the musalla. For us, janamas is a random thing. Sometimes we sit on it, sometimes we stand on it. It's not the asal. The asal of our life is maybe your lab or TA room, RA room, classroom. If you're a professor, the asal is your office, research, teaching. No, the asal of a mu'min has to be their deen. Everything else is ghair asli. Asal place of a person is the musalla, is the masjid, is their deen. Al-mu'minu fil masjidi kama. The mu'min in the masjid is like the fish in water. We were like fishes who spent 11 months outside the water. We have to return to the water, return to deen. So we make dua that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to increase in these three things in this month of Ramadan. May Allah ta'ala enable all of us to increase in our charity, our sadaqah, to increase in our du'as generally and specifically all the du'as that we make in this month. And to increase in our ibadat, in our amalu salih, and all the kinds that there. To increase in their quantity, in their quality, to increase in our mujahida, to increase in our regularity, to increase in our feeling, to increase in our remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala enable all of us to act on these teachings. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. سبحان ربنا المحرم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب من يقربنا إليك. اللهم آت نفسي تقواها وزكها، أنت خير من زكاها، أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلي من نفسي وأهلي ومالي وولدي ومن الماء البارد على الظمأ. اللهم اجعلني أحبك بقلبي كله وأرضيك بجهدي كله. اللهم إنا نسألك الشوق إلى لقائك ولذة النظر إلى وجهك الكريم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلق محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.